Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to get a song on for you. We have a lot of exciting things happening today. We have a guest speaker that's going to come on the line as we did last week. I hope you enjoyed the speaker last week. We've gotten some phenomenal reviews from the brother that was on last week from Chicago, and we're planning some big things. So let me get a song playing so we can give everyone a chance to call in. I hope you like the music. Shalom, shalom. We thank you so much for joining us.
You never know, you never know when. You never know, you never, 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 never know. No, 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 you never know.
DJ at low.
Looking for your deep into a spell. Heroes in your
DJ at Low.
All right, shalom, shalom. I hope everyone liked the song. We're still waiting on a few people to call in. I have a couple of announcements that I would like to make. We did have a very good show last week. We invited a young man on from Chicago who actually ran for Congress. We're also putting together a summit for all of you that are out there that are interested. We're going to put together a summit that's going to take place in Chicago. It's going to be a think tank, and we're in the planning stages at this point, but I will announce when it is going to be and where it is going to be. I got some feedback last week, and I think some people were upset with me because of me, how I handled the show in terms of people giving announcements. And I want to make this very clear because I don't want anyone to get offended. The sole purpose of this radio show is to bring together all of the people, the Hebrew, the conscious and unconscious Hebrews around the country. Some of us are Christians, some are Muslim, some are into religion, and so we bring different people on the show. What I don't want the show to turn around to be, because a lot of people call in, and when we first started the show, a lot of people called in and they took the liberty of announcing their own radio shows. They announced their own venues or whatever they were doing or however they were putting together. They announced their own programs on the show. That's what we don't want to happen because we're inviting guests from all walks of life. And these people are already established, whether they're in Christianity, whether they're Muslims, whatever they are. Our goal is to bring people together so we can just start working together as a unit. We're not trying to recruit people to be under the umbrella of any particular nation, even the nation of Yehuda. We are not petitioning for that. That is not what our goal is. Our goal is that first we have to learn how to work together. That has to be the first thing. It is the Most High's job to open up their eyes so that they'll come into the knowledge of who they are. We can't do that. He did that. He created that curse. He has to open up their eyes. The fact that we have them agreeing to come on the show, the fact that we have them agreeing to being on the show is a major milestone, and they know that we are of the Hebrew Israelite persuasion because of the images that have been given off in the Hebrew community. A lot of people have been turned off as a result of what they've seen. So all I'm saying to us today is that we have to be very, very cautious. We have to be very careful when we're dealing with people that are in these different religions, that are in different organizations that we have invited to come to the show. We have to be careful with how we handle these people because what's going to end up happening is we will end up turning them away instead of bringing them to the table. So, you know, I just want to make that announcement and make it very clear that every time the nation of Yehuda participates in having a guest on the show, we will not advertise anyone else's venue unless there is something that you, because we have a protocol now. If you want it to be announced on the radio show, you have to submit it. If there is an event that is going on the radio show, we ask for everyone to submit whatever it is that you would like for us to announce. We consider those to be public service announcements. We do not have a problem with making those announcements. But at the end of the day, we have to create protocol in order for people to take us seriously. And that's just how it's done. So I have a particular gentleman that I have asked to come to the show. And I don't know if you're on there or not, Reverend. If you're on the line already, please push 1, and that'll let me know that you're in queue. I have a gentleman that is coming on the show, and I heard him speak a while ago. He was very, very, very impressive. He has some things that I feel like is pertinent to our people as a nation. We have to start coming together. It is imperative that we come together because there is some real serious stuff going on here. Sir, if you're on the line, if you could push the number 1, that'll give me the cue that you're here. He did agree to come online today in terms of giving his speech and giving us information as to what's going on. He's very active in the community, and we have to be very, very careful. We have to start paying attention to what's going on around us. Our nation is changing right before our eyes, and we have to give people this is giving you information. And, you know, this whole show is dedicated to providing our people with the information that they need. And it's very, very important that we give this information to our people. So I'm still waiting on him to come on the line. I'll ask him to push one. Brother Adonai will not be on the line with us today. He had some emergencies that he had to take care of today, but he did say he would be back with us next week. And it's very important that we understand that when we invite our guests on the line, you know, that we are to be courteous, you know, and not out-talk them. We have to make sure that they have the floor to say whatever they want to say, because these people are very valuable to the knowledge of what's going on around us. And we can't just walk around with our eyes closed, people. It is very important that we pay attention to how fast and rapidly this nation is deteriorating. Some people would say, well, why does it have to matter? We're not going to be here anyway. It's not going to affect us. It affects us as long as we're here. It's going to affect our children, and it's going to affect our children's children. If we don't take a stand today and put forth an effort to counteract the things that are going on right now, our nation, if we're in trouble. I mean, we just really are in trouble. So let me see if he's on the line. Reverend Mr. Childress, if you're on the line, could you please push one? We're waiting on him to call in. I guess he's not on yet. Anyone else have a comment, question, concern, something that you may be interested in knowing? Please push one. The lines are open, and we can just chit-chat while we're waiting on him to come in. Also, I wanted to make an announcement as well. We are putting together a couple of other venues for our people to be able to come together and share in. We're not quite finished with them yet, but one of the things that we're putting together is a school of knowledge. The Nation of Yehuda is organizing a school of knowledge. It is free to everyone. It does not cost anything. We're going to go through our whole history from our language all the way through to our ancestors, to our patriarchs. We're going to go through the whole history. We are now recruiting teachers. So if you feel like that you've learned enough and you have enough knowledge to be able to teach, we ask you to go to the website. I'm going to give you my website address. We need teachers. We need male and female teachers. And let me tell you why I say that. It's because we have to understand that this composition of male-female is so important. It's the balance of everything. We cannot have all male teachers and no female teachers. We have to have male and female teachers. And we have a director of education now with the Nation of Yehuda, and she is going to be very instrumental in talking with the teachers, explaining the curriculum. We will pass out. We have syllabus that are being prepared right now for you. It's going to be an interactive class. You have to have internet to be able to participate in the class. We're going to have you download this program on your computer, which is completely free. There's going to be an interactive whiteboard. You'll be able to see PowerPoint presentations, demonstrations, and everything. We're getting this together right now. We have a projected date of the first week in February is when we're going to start the classes. We will open registration up around the last week in January, and our website should be up by then. We ask you to go on the website, register for the class. We will email you a syllabus that you'll have, and we're going to go through this like a real school, because it is our responsibility to train our people. If our history is found in the biblical scriptures, and our history is in those scriptures, we need to know our history. So again, if you have teaching capabilities, if you feel like you're very well versed in the word and you would like to participate as a teacher, all of this is going to be on a virtual volunteer basis. All of the classes are free. anyone that wants to join, I've had a lot of people contact me and say, I'm interested in the class. I just came into the knowledge. I'm trying to introduce this information to my family. They're rejecting it, but they're listening at the same time. It may be my approach. I need to have something out there that they can actually tap into so it can be explained a little clearer. So these are the things that we're putting together so that we will be able to do what it is we've been mandated to do. The important thing is, though, that we have the participation of our people. We also are looking for a Hebrew language teacher. I have a very good teacher. He is teaching me right now. I haven't asked him if he would teach. I don't know what his time schedule is like, but we need Hebrew language teachers. We need those who are versed in the regular Hebrew and ancient Hebrew as well. So we're getting to that point where we're getting ready to open up our school of knowledge, and it is going to be our responsibility to be able to manage that knowledge. So like I said, we're trying to bring a brand new cultural fingerprint to the Hebrew nation and the Hebrew people. There are people that are waking up from all walks of life. They're wanting to know what this thing is really all about, how we're invested, how we're involved, and what is it that they can do to roll up their sleeves. I've had several people call me and tell me, put me to work. What do you need me to do? Whereas other nations are dealing with agricultural programs and whole health and wellness and all that, we will have something similar. We will not do agriculture because that's not the nation of Yehuda is more political-based, administrative-based, and information-based. So we are going to have information that we can get to you. Our main goal is to provide information. That we're going to provide the information as to where you can go, who you can talk to, and we will provide you with information as to how to supply your needs. So these are the things that we're preparing for. Again, we have a lot of people on this line. If you want to push one, please feel free to do that. I'd like to be able to talk while we're waiting. Also, Mr. Childress, if you're on the line, please push one. We would love to hear from you. We're waiting for you to call in. This gentleman is very, very instrumental in things that are going on around the country. I'm going to try to get some information online here for you guys to be able to hear some of the things that he was actually talking about. I ran across this gentleman online, and I was very, 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 very impressed with his presentation that he gave. I wanted him to speak personally to us as a group so that he could kind of explain to us what's actually going on with our nation. And he deals with abortion, and he deals with pedophilia and some of the serious things that are happening in our community. So I wanted him to be able to talk to us specifically, and I've been waiting for him to call in. But while he's calling in, I'm going to play a YouTube clip for you so you can kind of hear, you know, where he is and what he actually has to talk about. So here we go. One moment, please.
Documented, scientific, hundreds of major studies that every abortion you have massively increases your chance of getting different types of cancer. If your body is meant to abort a baby, 99% of the time it will. It's very unnatural. Making the film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, I didn't just believe the quotes by Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood and others even in modern times. I went to the universities. I sent off for copies of the actual letters where they call black people weeds that must be exterminated. And you see Bill Gates and his vaccine program clearly tied to reduced fertility, sterilization, Nobel laureates on record, even BBC reporting that women are getting HIV, never had sex in Africa, but they've had vaccinations. They were caught in Libya doing this. We have the UN and their internal documents that I cover in Endgame saying they want to force inoculate to introduce cancer viruses, autoimmune viruses. This is going on against everyone. But going back over 100 years ago, when eugenics was like a rock and roll craze, up until the 40s when Hitler embarrassed them, they then changed the name of it, blacks were the number one target because they could sell more people in the community on going along with it. On that Russia Today video piece that we played half of, we'll put it back on screen, it's Abortion Inc. Is it carrying out black genocide? Abortion Inc. promoting black genocide inside the United States. In the comments, I see people in there, the minority, but still they're there, saying, you black people complain about everything. You black people always say you're the victim. You black people always say people are out to get you. And, yeah, well, there are too many black people. There are too many black thugs out there, on and on and on and on. And then, see, once that idea has been accepted, then it can be done to everybody. I remember debating Planned Parenthood people and debating CPS when they were seizing people's kids for no reason. They would email me, write me, call me, or in person say, who's going to adopt all these black babies? Are you going to do it? Yeah, we're getting rid of them. And it's come out in the news that you can call up Planned Parenthood and say, I want to give money specifically to get rid of black babies. Absolutely, we agree. We'll help you. This is a eugenics organization. And Bill Gates' father, of course, formerly headed it. And they're all pushing this agenda right now. The carbon taxes are about cutting off everybody's resources where you can't even afford to have children now. And so I wanted to have Pastor on our show today from blackgenocide.org because he's been fighting this for more than a decade, and he's been standing up against this corrupt system and fighting for more than a decade. And so we're going to get him to break down basically what we face as a society. But the fact is there's more people wanting to adopt every year in the U.S. That's why people import folks from South Korea and Europe and other places and Haiti. And the truth is people do want to adopt black babies, brown babies, white babies. But the system knows this, and they don't tell you when you're at Planned Parenthood that there are Christian groups who will 100% of the time pay you, take care of you, and help adopt the baby. No, they just say kill the baby. And so this is a window into a much bigger situation. So I preface that now, but I want to go to Pastor Clennard Howard Childress, Jr. from blackgenocide.org. Pastor, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Break down your awakening, who you are, what you've done, your research, what we're facing here, and obviously the larger eugenics operation.
Well, you know, sometimes the longer I stay in it, the more I find that it's a humongous machine that I feel the only way it could be uprooted at this point is for the church, that God has always used the church to deal with all social injustices. But how I began was just defending the unborn here locally in my normal teaching. Did not even know such thing as the pro-life movement or pro-choice and all the terminology. And a young lady who was more involved than I was regionally asked me, did I want to get more involved in the movement? She had met one of my students walking by an abortion clinic thinking she was going to go in. She approached her and she said, no, my pastor told me about this already. And she said, well, who is your pastor? And that led to me going to Learn, Life Education Resource Network. There was a conference down at Virginia Beach, and I felt that I should go. And my wife and myself went, and the first time I heard of the Negro Project, and even why the Akua Farrow was the presenter, and I heard of the eugenic design, the mindset, the ideology, the players. And I was stunned. And I was stunned to find, even more so, having gone to college and gone to seminary, that I never heard any of these things. Not so much as an iota of these things. And yet, it was prevalent, dominating. And at that time, the figure was 1,452 African-American children killed each day. And here I was, a shepherd, and didn't know of this devouring agent that was preying upon the African-American community to the degree in which it was. So,
all right, all right. I don't want to hold it on too long, but I hope that you all have listened, and we're going to continue playing it. I see there's a number from Detroit. I invited several people. If you received an email from me inviting you to the show, would you please push 1 so that we can introduce you and we can get started with the show? Because we've invited several people to the show today, and I didn't want to leave anyone out because this is very serious. You know, when they have designed, and let me say again, designed a program around promoting us to get rid of our children, the war that they waged on us as a people is really, really serious. Psalms 83 is very, very prevalent, very real. Still today, it is very real in terms of eugenics, genocide, all of it. So we have to start paying attention. We have to make sure we reach our young people. We have to get messages out to our young people to make sure that we make them understand how serious this is. Because if nobody ever wakes you up, you'll remain asleep. If nobody ever tells you, you'll think this is the norm. This is just the way things are. And it's my fault because I make choices in my life that make things bad for me. This is not an individual endeavor. This is a worldwide endeavor. This is a conspiracy. Psalm 83 says it was a conspiracy. They sat down together and came to one consent that they would wipe us out, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. This is very, very serious because not only do we have our nation, the Hebrew people, but we also have the church. And I was once a Christian pastor. I still believe in the Yahweh Shah Mashiach. I still believe in the Christ. I still believe in Hamashiach. But what I'm trying to say is that we have to reach our young people because I heard someone tell me something once. They say, you know, with the eugenics, with the abortion rate, with the HIV rate, the whole thing has just gotten out of control. And for most part, they say that, and this how twisted this philosophy was, it still made a little sense. They said when you deal with a hooker, a streetwalker, a woman that uses her body to get money, these people that do this as a profession take necessary precautions because they know that all of the diseases and the things that they come in contact with is in the body fluid. So then you have those women that are doing it as a business that take precautions. I'm not condoning that because I don't think that's right. But then you have the woman that's trusting, that's in a monogamous relationship or in a marriage that trusts her mate, and then she's the one ended up infected. So we've got to reach everybody. We've got to reach the single black male. We've got to reach the single black woman. We've got to reach the husband and the wife. We have to get through to the teenagers. And not only the teenagers, we have to get through to the young adults. And then we have to get next to the older adults because I had a girlfriend of mine that works in the insurance industry. She said the insurance industry is tagging older people that have HIV because they don't think they can get it. But people over 65, 70 years old are coming in with HIV. So all of these things are pertinent and necessary when it comes to us being prepared for the things that we have to get prepared for. So that's the purpose of the show. Like I said, the Nation of Yehuda is been formed to be able to give information. The Yehuda Project is designed to get the information out there. We have to come together as a nation. We have to come together as a people. You know, because if we don't, there are systems put in place to do away with us. So, again, if I have invited you to the show and you're one of my guests, or please don't hesitate to push one. Please push one and we'll get you right on the show. We're waiting on Reverend Childress to call in. As soon as he does, we'll prompt him to push one because we don't want to listen to the tape. We want to hear it firsthand because this man was so powerful in terms of the way he presented himself on this particular show that I reached out and contacted him because I wanted him to be a part of the show to give us information as to what it is we need to know because this is happening at an alarming rate. We've got to do something. We've got to stop closing our eyes or we're going to be done away with, and it's really not going to be good. So, I'm waiting on him to call in while we're yet waiting because I'm not sure if he had church today. He may be running a little late, but I'm going to play a little bit more of the clip so that you can hear his presentation as he gives it to this particular show.
Folks, Pastor Johnny Hunter, National Director, and I said I have – want to partner with you in addressing this issue nationally and locally, and thus began my quest website.org. And actually, the young computer, Michael Spielman, who does Abort 73, abort.73, another great website if you want to see what abortion is. He was helping me put the site together. We put all the information together. He said, what are you going to call it? And I said, just call it LEARN, I guess. LEARN Northeast is just to reach. I want to reach the African-American community with the message of abortion. And he said, well, why don't you just call it Black Genocide? That's what you're always calling it any other time. And when he said it, it was like when Mary heard Elizabeth, something leaped in my womb. And I said, that's the name, Black Genocide. So we called it blackgenocide.org. And it's,
well, we're going to break down with you the real numbers. 52%, and that's conservative, of blacks never get born. They're murdered. That is a bigger statistical genocide than we've even seen in Rwanda against the Tutsis or what we saw with Hitler. This is a real genocide, and eugenics is the religion of the elite. They teach it as phony environmentalism, that humans are a disease and a scourge. This is what funds the entire global government movement. It's what you always find. It's what all the big banks fund. And blacks are their number one target, but they're doing it to everyone now. And so all these fools out there that are racist deep down and say, yeah, get rid of these black people or get rid of these brown people, you know, to all the white supremacists out there, it's being done to you as well. This is for everyone, but blacks are the apple of the globalist eye. And I just want to add that you know, the good news is we see national statistics. More and more people are beginning to wake up to this. But let's break down the Black Genocide Program, the Negro Program, as it was called, by Margaret Sanger and the Rockefeller Foundation, and what these mass murderers are doing right now.
Well, no question about it. It was a systemic design by the eugenics, the elitists of this nation, and who are very much more in power than I ever dreamed could dream that they were. And the key thing was to introduce abortion and sterilization to the African American community. It varied down through the years, but of course, in 1973, by their own evaluations, they finally found the key element to reduce the numbers of African Americans under suspicion. That they would not be deemed as suspicious, and that was through abortion. It was also through commandeering key African-American iconic figures to condone it. And this is the greatest strategy. You know, Jesse Jackson, 1977, is basically where I coined the phrase Black Genocide was from Jesse Jackson, who said abortion is Black Genocide. What happens to a mind of a person in the moral fabric of a nation that can abort a baby without a pang of conscience?
Yeah, that's the one good thing about Jesse Jackson is he did come out against that. And you go back to what W.E.B. Du Bois and others, you read Margaret Sanger's letters. She said, we can't let these people know we want to kill them. They don't trust us. We've got to get rid of these weeds. We've got to hire black leaders.
Exactly. Three or four colored ministers with engaging social backgrounds were their exact words. And Jesse, when he decided to be president, he wanted to be president, realized he wasn't going to get the money he needed unless he switched his position. And so he literally became a shepherd leading the sheep to the slaughter. And so
early on he was good, but then he flip-flopped for power. How many millions of blacks have been exterminated?
16 million, and that is a conservative estimate.
I mean, is $1 billion worth it to kill 16 million-year-old people or anybody? I mean, they could. Satan could lead me up on a mountain and say, "I will make you God on earth if you'll kill one child." And I wouldn't do it if they were black or polka dotted or green or white.
Exactly.
I mean, this is so evil.
It is unquestionably evil, and it's very sad commentary to the civil rights movement because Dr. King died in '68, and he more or less never. There never was really a designated. Joshua to come in and lead, and basically they began to fight amongst themselves for power, and this brought about an opportunity with Roe versus Wade, which was right around the corner, to offer money to these leaders, and they basically buying their silence and asking for their
16 million dead people.
16 million. And then there's just the consciousness of the deaf culture being so deeply embedded in the African-American community, the fact that we would embrace a message that would cause a woman to do the antithetical thing about life being in her, and that is to kill it. That is just the opposite of God, of faith, of a walk of religious bringing. And
Reverend
so,
Childers, stay there. BlackGenocide.org. Our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to come back and continue breaking this down.
All right, all right. Can you guys, I just want to know, did you all hear me? Because I have someone in the chat line that says they cannot hear. If everybody can hear me, if somebody could just push one and say, yeah, we hear you, because I don't have a problem with hearing on my end. It's pretty powerful. Like I said, Psalms 83 is still in effect today. Psalms 83 is still in effect today. Some of us have gotten caught up in that, not wanting to have any more children, the process of sterilization. Some have had abortions. Some have done things. We've got to get the message out to our communities. We've got to get this message out. It has to be done. So, again, if Reverend Childress is on the line, please push 1. We want to hear from you. If I invited you to the show and you're one of my guests, please push 1. We need to hear from you as well. It's pretty powerful, the situation that we're in, and it's pretty saddening, the situation that we're in. There was an article that they brought to my attention on this exact same show where a pedophile had molested an 11-year-old girl, and the judge discharged him and did not charge him with anything because they said he was in love with the girl. I don't know how that could be possible, what's going on, but we got to make sure that we understand. I have a lot of people on this line, and I have someone in the chat line typing saying they cannot hear anything. So can you guys, somebody push 1 and let me know you can hear me? Anybody on the line, would you please push 1 and let me know you can hear me? Or I'll just open up a mic. Hold on. Area code 404, can you hear me? Hello? Hold on one moment. Let me try area code. Area code 303, can you hear me? Hello? I guess that means yes. All right, I guess they can't hear me. Okay, we'll try that again. Let me try area code 513. Area code 513, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, we're going to keep trying. Let's go on up the line. Area code 706, can you hear me? Well, I guess they can't hear me if we're still on the line, because most people would have hung up by now. We got area code 111. Area code 111, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Is this Reverend Childress?
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay, thank you so much. One moment, please. Area code 253, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Brother Rashid. I can hear you nice and clear, sister. I don't know why nobody else is answering, but I'm way up here in Seattle, Tacoma, Washington. I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, thank you so much. Shalom, shalom. I'm so glad that you're joining us. We do appreciate you being here. One moment, sir, and thank you so much for answering my call. I appreciate it. Did you want to make a comment or anything while you're on the air?
No, I've just been tuning in these last few Sundays, and some real interesting subjects have come up. I've just been sitting back, just enjoying the subjects that are at hand. Thank you, sister. Shalom aleichem.
Oh, shalom, shalom, my brother. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, shalom, shalom. Area code 678, are you there?
Yeah, shalom, shalom. This is Donia.
Oh, you made it. Shalom, shalom. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm actually waiting on a brother to call in from a program that he's offering, and I'm playing a clip of one of his clips that he's had that we've got to get the information out to our nation. We've got to get this information out. I'm pretty sure he's probably still in church. He did email me and tell me that he was going to be on the show at 3:30. So we're going to give him an opportunity to still come on the show because this is very important. And I want to continue to play just a little bit more while we give him a chance. And I want you guys to listen very carefully to what's going on with us because can you believe that Margaret Sanger and the group of the elite and Bill Gates was in charge of all of his father was in charge of all this. They got together and commissioned ministers that had access to the black church to be able to convince people that it was okay to do these things to our children, to our unborn babies. This is how serious this goes. This is how deep the rabbit hole goes. So let me play a little bit more so you can hear.
And, of course, they don't stop there. They put the fluoride in your water, the GMO crops, all designed to sterilize you. The Rockefellers, Ted Turner, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey. Secret meeting, it says at the end of the article, for a world government to forcibly reduce world population. Now, it's a litmus test for political candidates in the Democratic Party, but the Republicans, they could have overturned this. Most of them go along with it as well, to carry out this extermination. And Barack Obama, when he got in power, took the hold off of billions of dollars in Africa, where they come into villages and basically force abortions on people just like China. And if you'll adopt this, the big global system gives you all the power because it's about killing. Just like Pharaoh demanded the firstborn be sacrificed, so many other kings throughout history demand your firstborn or they demand your children. It's an act of submission. It's a death cult. Again, I've come through this from studying the globalists' own writings, and they know what they're doing. And this is going on against all communities, but the main focus of this Luciferian system is killing black people. Going back to the Reverend, Reverend Childress, please continue, sir, breaking down what you were getting into with the black leaders, the 52% of blacks never being born, and how we stop this.
Well, and that's what listeners need to know. If two African-American women get pregnant, one of them for sure is going to choose abortion, and at this rate, from Alan Guttmacher, who sat on the board of Planned Parenthood and probably has better stats than most of the Guttmacher Institute, he proudly reports that 52% of all African-American pregnancies end in abortion. He also, what they failed to tell you, of course, as you've already alluded to, and thank God for your work, the health ramifications that are just horrific, which are never discussed. African Americans now, by using abortion nearly as a contraceptive, African American women now lead the country in preterm death rates of their children due to the fact of the multiple abortions that doesn't allow the uterine lining to have the strength enough to carry full term.
And it's also been documented that these IUDs they put in women in the 70s, 80s, and 90s were designed to screw up women's uteruses.
Exactly.
And same things come up with Depo-Provera, that it a lot of times really hurts women's fertility. Folks, you need to understand, and I mean, I've seen all the big studies. They know it increases cancer risk having abortions.
Yes, 66%. And it's just outrageous that the NAACP has fought every year since 2006 from this coming to the floor just for discussion and workshops being set up just from the health issue point of view, since African-American women, who account only for 12% of the population, are having 37% of the abortion. So if that is the case, and it's already that abortion is the most performed operation on a woman, how can you not allow the information, the health information, especially when it comes to the issue of breast cancer? And it can be clearly seen by all data that breast cancer rose and basically skyrocketed right after Roe versus Wade in the African American community. So we're looking for a grassroots. Just recently, there's been a documentary out by AFA, and being seen in the Selma Film Festival this this Sunday.
Absolutely. We offer it at InfoWars.com, the DVD film, incredibly powerful. Back in 70 seconds, Reverend, and again, I've researched all this. Everything he's saying is documented. You need to be as informed as he is, folks, to stop this genocide.
All right, Brother Donnie, what you got to say about that? I mean, look at how strategic everything has been placed against them. And you say it all the time. If we don't do something, they are going to try to get rid of us. They have been doing this strategically and planning this way back in the 50s, way back before then, way back in Psalms 83. They said they sat down and conspired together to come together to as the nations agreed. They wrote an agreement, a covenant, to say we are going to get rid of Israel. We're going to fix it. Where the name of Israel be remembered no more. This is serious stuff.
Yep, it has never stopped. What they did was in 1936, I think it was, or 1937, they put up the Emancipation Proclamation. That was just some paperwork that they put out. It was supposed to have freed the slaves, you understand, or gave the illusion that we were being free, you understand? That was just to keep us docile, keep us, in line, you understand? They made it so that we think we were getting something and we didn't get nothing. And it's an ongoing thing. They had, a German woman that started Planned Parenthood, you understand? And that has been taken all kinds of different turns here. Now we think that we're using Planned Parenthood as a safety net or under abortions, legal abortions and et cetera. But it's all planned out strategically. You understand? So we in big trouble here. If we don't do nothing, you understand, then we accept everything that happens to us. So we need to try to band together. You understand, and figure out how we can start our own industry, how we can get tried to mention is that if we become independent, then it is our responsibility to take care of us, to do what we need to do for us. You understand, they can't do a thing to us if we are independent nation. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. I want to also make an announcement that I got some raving reviews from the young man that was on last week. We are right now currently putting together the beginning talks of putting together an organization, a big summit in Chicago where we can all sit down at the table, everybody, Hebrews, Muslims, Christians, everybody, because this is a color thing. And, we got to come to the table and say, okay, look, we got to do something. I mean, because they make it so prevalently available. I remember when I was 16 years old and I went to Planned Parenthood because you could go there and your parents didn't have to know about it. Nobody had to know. And I was looking for birth control. Even though I wasn't sexually active at the time, the fact that I could go, I went anyway. And the lady explained to me, she says, well, we can do an IUD for you if you like. I said, how does that work? She said, well, they put it in you. And then it keeps you from getting pregnant. I said, but how exactly does it work? She says, well, it causes a spontaneous abortion. I said, oh, no thanks. So a lot of things that we don't know of, we have to make sure that we tell our children. Because I had a friend of mine, she used abortion as a method of birth control, and she died of cancer. I'm telling you, people, we got to start educating our children. We have to start educating our mothers, our fathers. I mean, I understand we're under a curse and that they've had almost 400 years of conditioning our mind to the point where we are basically led by the slaughter, that they have consumerized us to the point that we don't realize that instead of picking cotton, we buying gym shoes. Instead of picking cotton, we have to have the status quo. Instead of picking cotton, we dress up, we buy their clothes and their things like that. But this thing is closing in on us so quick and so tight. They're closing ranks on us so quick and so tightly that we almost have to come together. We don't have a choice in the matter. And like I said earlier, we're not on here to recruit anybody to be under any specific organization. All we're saying is let's come to the table and sit down and try to find a solution. Let's come to the table and start managing our own neighborhood. Let's come to the table and start talking to our own children and get our own schools. Like I said, a pedophile, he molested an 11-year-old girl, and the judge dismissed the case because he said the girl was in love with him. How does an 11-year-old girl be in love with a 60-year-old man? This is how twisted this is getting ready to get. And oh, my goodness, I don't even know. Brother, let me make an announcement. If you have a question, a comment, or anything, please push 1. We have a lot of people on this line today, and we don't want you to just listen. We want to hear what you have to say. We're still waiting on Reverend Childress to come on the line. If he's on there, please push 1. We want to hear from you firsthand. If I invited you to the show, please push 1. We want to hear from you firsthand. Or if you just have a comment, we still want to hear from you. Just push 1. Brother Donia, you have something to say before I go back to the clip?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, I make it my business, you understand, to get involved with the restoration of our peoples. Because if we don't do nothing, you understand, we might as well just bend over backwards and kiss our butt behind goodbye. Because they got a thing set up for us. You understand? If this don't work, they got something else lined up. See, they got a number of things working in conjunction with one another. You understand? They got that homosexuality out there that's running rampant. They marrying into these other people who will deplete us as a nation. You understand? We willingly participate in our own demise by shooting and killing one another. You understand? There's a number of things that's going on in conjunction with our extermination. So we got to try to do something. You understand? We the peoples that, just because there is a curse don't mean we ain't supposed to do nothing. I don't think that even apply. That don't even apply. You understand? The curse is going to go on, but we still can do something in our own behalf. I believe that till my dying day. You understand? I don't think that we're just supposed to sit back and just accept what's going on. I really don't.
No. I agree with you 100%. For you all who are new on this line, this is called the Yehuda Project. We are Hebrew Israelite. We believe that the people from the transatlantic slave trade that came over on the ships were the original 12 sons of Yaakov. We have people that are Christian on this line, Muslim on this line. We don't force anybody to do anything. We just bring information to our people because we don't want to see our people just totally annihilated. I mean, and we got to wake up. I'm like him now. You not having your cultural identity is one thing, but to just walk blindly into a snake pit, I mean, that's suicide. And there's no reason for it to be because all we got to do, you know what? The need to know is greater than the desire to be fooled. We got to get this information out there to our young people. We can stop our young people from killing each other. I believe we can do that. Our generation has the power to do that. We have just got to stop buying into this corporate America crap because America is not a country. It's a business. It has always been a business. It will always be a business. And they
I'm going to step away from the phone, but I wanted to say this here is that as long as we sit back and watch our kids do what they're doing, you understand, and we don't do nothing about it, we just as much responsible for their actions. You understand? That's just like years ago I had some children and my wife said, "Well, why are you going through their room?" I said, "Because I pay the rent here and I want to know what they're doing." You understand? And after that, a couple of years after that, those kids was finding, I mean, their parents was finding guns and all that kind of stuff in their kids' room because they did not do no checking on their children. So you got to stay abreast of what your children is doing. You understand? You the one that, you the responsible parent. Anything that they do, you responsible for. Hallelujah.
Right.
I'm going to stay on the phone for a minute or two.
Okay, that's right. You know, I agree with you 100%. I raised 9 children. I had 4 natural children, and I raised 5 foster kids. I have fostered, I think, over 25, 35 kids in the state where I live. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that I love kids. They used to tell me, my grandmother used to call me the little old lady in the shoe. I said, that's all right, but you know what? They love me. They respect me today because we had a system. And I let them know that I am the supervisor. I'm the parent of the house, and it is my responsibility to make sure that, one, you're safe, two, that you have a knowledge of what's in them streets, and three, to let you know there are consequences for your actions. If you do good, then you'll be rewarded for good. But if you do bad, then you're going to be rewarded for bad. I mean, really, we had a system set up where they actually went downtown to the courtroom and sat there and watched some of the cases. You know, we went through a whole lot of training and different things to show them this is what's going to happen to you if you do this. Now, sometime I can save you and sometime I can't. So your decisions are going to determine your outcome. We can stop our children. We do not have to live like they're telling us that we are or who we are. But you know what? I understand what it is when you poor. I understand what it is when you need something. Because guess what? I'm poor, too. I done been there, done that. I done been on the rich end of the spectrum and the poor end of the spectrum. And guess what? I've learned to do poor very well. I understand the hustle. I know what it is to get out there, ladies, and hustle and try to feed your children. I don't know what it's like as a man, but as a woman, I've been a single mother. I've been a married woman. I've been a single mother. I've done the whole thing. And it's not easy. But guess what? We have a responsibility because I used to tell the guys, if you all put as much effort in shining up your kids the way you polish up your cars, we would have a hell of a nation. I mean, it just takes the responsibility of a few to say, no, we ain't going to live like this no more. We're going to clean it up. That's all they're waiting on. They're waiting on us to do what we need to do so that they're not caught up in all of the things that are going on. So, you know, my thing is we have to keep ourselves ready, steady, and able to go. So I want to continue to play this clip so you can hear it because it's very important. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. Hold on one moment. Here we go.
Big Brother, mainstream media.
I want to get into African-Americans, black people in this country, but all over the world, need to know that their leaders are worse than Judas Iscariot. They are there. They are financed. Because if the system comes to you and says, hi, I'm a Nazi, I want to kill you, black people are going to run. But if they come and say, I'm a loving liberal, I'm going to keep you safe from the Ku Klux Klan. Now, well, the Ku Klux Klan is pretty bad, but they haven't killed 16 million people. I found it's the Birkenstock-wearing fake liberal. When you really corner them, they hate black people, they hate life, they hate humanity. They and their green police want to get rid of the majority of the world population.
Absolutely. Well, especially when it comes let me get back to this one health point of view, because people say, well, how does it affect me as a woman when you say breast cancer? How does that come about? Well, if you miscarry, your brain picks that up and sends messages throughout the body to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
If it's surgically done, the child, or if you have an abortion, the brain does not pick that up, and it begins to send out impulses to the rest of the body as if you have a child. And the greatest damage done is in the breast, because by the time the brain figures out there's no baby there,
science shows. There's a massive hormone flux.
Exactly.
That's why mammals get cancers thousands of times more often than sharks, because sharks don't have hormones.
Right. And isn't it amazing that Planned Parenthood, the leading abortion provider, does not share that information with a woman coming in for the first time for an abortion? That is negligence. That's medical negligence, but yet no one holds them accountable, which allows me to segue over to what, you know, all data proves right now is, and I know this program, just for the few minutes I've been on it, has been sounding this alarm, and it's very important that, unfortunately, folks, the government is very deep into this eugenics mindset and movement globally. And so they stepped back a few years ago and picked an entity to lead the charge where they could be basically undercover in their intent and agenda to control the numbers of the world, but especially, of course, African-Americans. And agenda of elitists that are getting this support from government to continue the eugenic practices of sterilization, abortion, and seducing third world countries into taking this in as a part of their day-to-day. So this is going on, and there's only one way I believe it can ever come to a close or to a stop, is that for the voices of the people to be united as one and to be informed. And because it's so massive, it would take a massive movement to address this ill and have the data. And now this is a day that we do have the data to point out that these eugenic elitists are have infiltrated just about every neighborhood.
All right, Pastor, stay there. We're going to break it down on the other side. Long segment coming up.
All right, all right. And isn't that what the gentleman that was on last week, he said the very same thing? He said that the leaders that they put out front in front of us are being paid to steer us in the direction that the elite wants us to go in, that they're paid over the pulpit in most cases because that's where they come from, or in the political arena to move us in a certain direction that they want us to go in. We've got to, people, I don't even know how to tell you. You know what? One day, and I'm going to keep this show going as long as I possibly can, but there are so many things that I need to share with you that the spectrum goes from political to scientifically outrageous. There are so many things that they're doing right now that is right out in the open, and they really don't care who knows it. I just did a study on DNA. I'm doing a study on DNA because that's going to be a part of one of our classes that we're going to have to understand the importance of our DNA. There's a reason why they hate us. There is a reason why we have had to struggle the way we have. There is a reason why they have put us in the condition that we're in, because they know who we are. They know the power that we possess. If you read Joel, and I have to go to the Bible because we use the Bible as our history book. Yes, it is full of information about the Most High. It is full of information about the salvation. It is full of information. But if you read the second chapter of Joel, I think it's the 27th verse. I'm not sure. Let me get it. But it clearly states, he said, I am the Lord God of the Hebrews and none else. So they know what they're dealing with. We're the ones that have been, we have bought into this kumbaya story. Let's just all get along. All we got to do is develop economic developments and do this and that, and we'll be on equal standing. This is the land of our captivity. I don't care whether you got it. I don't care whether you make it six figures or you make it five figures. This is still the land of our captivity, and you know how we know it is because of the stuff we're listening to right now. We will never be equal with them, and they will always have an agenda to get rid of us. Psalms 83 spells it out real clear. They came together with one consent, and it was 10 countries that came together to erase us, to eradicate us completely, because they know the powers that we have. We have just had to come into the knowledge of who we are. I read something. Let me get back to my DNA story. I read something today where the scientists have already birthed children. Now, hear me when I tell you. They have already birthed children that have three different, and I'm going to say again, three different DNA codes. They have the DNA of two women and one man. Now, that could be humanly impossible because, of course, we know when a baby is born, it has so much of the father and so much of the mother. These children are already teenagers. Google it and see. They are messing with DNA. They are creating their own beings and species. They're doing all kind of things. And you know what we're doing? We're watching TV. We're watching Who Wanna Dance, Who Can Be the Best Dancer, whatever the name of the show is. We've got to start waking up. The message has to change. We have to come together. As far as the Hebrew community is concerned, we do not believe this is our land. We believe, according to the scriptures, that we will be leaving this land. And it's, and I had a conversation with a young woman that is in the Christian faith. She's still in the Christian faith. And she asked me, she says, well, what exactly do you believe? I said, the problem that I have with the end time pastors and the end time ministries and all of the end time sessions is they teach the scriptures from the standpoint that the Jews are already in the land. According to that, it speeds up Daniel. It speeds up Revelation. It accelerates both of the books to the point where it appears like we're farther ahead of the game than we're not than we are. When actuality, we're scattered all over the world. For those who don't believe that, read Ezekiel chapter 39. It talks about how I'm going to gather my people from all over the world, and the foreign nations will watch as I gather my people from all over the world where I have scattered them. He didn't say a man scattered them. He said, I have scattered my people all over the world. So when you look at the scriptures from the perspective of the story that the Jews are already back in the land, it accelerates the scriptures. It accelerates the prophecies. And that's where we come into danger at. So we have dedicated our time and our money and our efforts to bring information to the table, information about politics. Like the young man was on the radio show last week, and he talked about the leadership and how they pay the leadership to lead us in another direction. We had this pastor here when we were waiting on him to come on the line where he's talking about how they chose pastors and different congress people and stuff to promote their agenda and to get certain things done. So these are all of the things that we're struggling with right now, and we have to pay attention. And I got somebody on the line, area code 773, hold on. Area code 773, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Paul McKinley.
Oh, shalom, shalom, Brother Paul McKinley. How are you today?
I'm okay. How's everything going with you?
It's going pretty good. I don't know how much of the program have you heard, but you have something you want to say?
Well,
we can't hear you. Fade now. Hello? We still can't hear you. You might want to call back in because we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
Okay. I said I was very interested in the election that you just had in New York with your mayor. And now that you have a so-called progressive mayor who is supposed to be married into some black folks, I heard that he was making a whole lot of gestures. And I think that he overwhelmingly got the vote from our people also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it our people, and I'm talking about the African Americans that's in the community, need to make their voices known specifically about the tyrannical policies that was being put on them through the last mayor. Because whether it's Democrat or Republican, if we don't say nothing and voice our opinion, we get nothing. So I think that the community now that this so-called progressive guy then got in there, because I don't get caught up so much on Democrat and Republican, because you get lost in that, and it's almost like betting on a team of Bears or the Dallas Cowboys. You ain't getting paid nothing by watching the team. Everybody making money, you the only one ain't making nothing sitting up there looking at it. So it's the Democrat or Republican is not the issue. The issue is that he made a lot of gestures to some violations of people's constitutional rights. And the community need to raise up about the stop and frisk law that it came up a couple of times. It came up a couple of times during the election. But no one never clearly stated that they was going to get rid of this South Africa type stop and frisk policies that they have in New York that are very similar to the Israeli policies that they have in Israel. And so the people that's up there need to make sure that they voice their opinion. And also, there's some congressional elections coming up. There need to be some new young blood, fresh young people. See, the problem with New York is this. This is the problem I see in New York. New York has a lot of young, bright people. Grassroots. I'm only talking about grassroots. You ain't got to be in college to have no sense. I'm not talking about them, because a lot of them been to college and come back and we can't get along with them. They think they better and smarter than us. I'm talking about the grassroots people who live in New York City and been putting the work in. Whether they have academic skills or not, academic skills does not make you a man or a woman. So I'm getting that clear, that you don't need nobody that's a wordsmith and that can talk clever out their mouth and get nothing done. You got them people already. It needs to be, the problem with New York is that the young people have not been given an opportunity to emerge, to take their rightful seat among leadership as far as elected officials, as far as in the city council, as far as the state reps, and they need to stop electing and putting liberal Negroes in place who look like you, who dress like you, and speak with a forked tongue, who makes no effort to try to lift up our people in the community. See, when you get elected in an all-black district, you represent all black folks. So if you go downtown or go to the city or go to the Capitol and vote every time to make sure that the budget is right and no money come back to your community, then something is wrong with that. When you say, well, I'm the elected official for all people. Well, isn't black folks some of your people that you are the leader of? You need to be very mindful of this, because most of our people feel that they doesn't have anything coming. We have what you call, it's almost like a woman, a battered woman. It's like being a battered woman who her husband is a drug addict and her husband is very verbal abusive and physically abusive. In our community, they use the police as the physical abuse. And when we ask for something, we're at a state politically, we feel that we shouldn't ask for nothing from our elected official. And if we ask for something, our elected official, for instance, we need jobs in our community. Most of the time, our elected officials will say, our young people don't want to work. Now, half our young people in jail, and other half, we're talking about the men now, half of them in jail and the other half on their way to jail, dead or out of school, on drugs. Now, why is we not pushing for our young men to emerge to take these positions? And this has got to be the kind of conversation among our people. This has got to be the type of mindset of our people, because we're like a battered woman. We all come in the room and we find safe pet theories to talk about. We talk about theology, something that we can't get in that doesn't matter. Oh, who is this guy and what faith is this guy and we were this in Egypt and we ain't talking about 1792 and we certainly ain't talking about 2002. We're talking about 2014 and how we can take our people and emerge to be very competent and productive people in this so-called free society to take our people and go to the next level. Because at the end of the day, this is the country we're in, and we need to work this country to our benefit like everybody else. You know. And so that's what I'm very interested in New York, is that the people are focused in, and specifically our people. And specifically, if you're African-American and you want to be whatever you want to call yourself, and we come on those slave ships, I'm talking about you. I ain't talking about people who already came over here and made their mark and made a scratch. It seems like you've done a great thing for your community and you've done a great thing for your people. I'm talking about indigenous people who've been in this country all the time and have not made any and have not focused in on how they can make a real group effort to bring their people to the next level. That's what we need to be talking about. We need to be talking about in vocation, in the construction industry, in the 32 trades in the construction industry. We need to be talking about how we can get our people in there. There's a lot of jobs and infrastructure money. We need to be talking about how to take our people and put them into the technology industry. And there's going to be a lot of jobs in the technology industry. We need to take back the musical industry because we don't own it no more. New York, contrary to popular belief, you don't run nothing in the music industry and you ain't in play. So the indigenous people in New York who once dominated a whole nation in the music industry, where everybody, with the voice of the ghetto, or the voice of the people who didn't have no say, the voice of the people during the Reagan era who couldn't get no voice out, the hip-hop community got a word out and did it tremendously. So we need to take over the music industry. We don't control it, and we need to go on, and the young people up there need to go on grassroots boycotts of people who are up there, who are in control of the music industry. You don't need to buy none of their music. You need to do your own thing. We got the internet. There's a whole new channel, a way that the grassroots movement could go. And then you need to sing some music about love, some music about upward humanity, some upward lifting humanity, some music about God. Or you need to sing about music that could uplift humanity and put our people in a positive track. No self-demeaning music. No music that's intertwined into, that diabolical music, that hateful music, that lustful and sensual hate music that they like to. It's enough of that music out there, so you don't even need to try to even talk that way. You need to be trying to talk about how to uplift our young people through your music instead of tearing them down and saying there's something wrong with them. You know what I'm saying? And we need this is what the opportunity that lies at the feet of New York, you know what I'm saying? Because you have so many young people in the city of New York, that's brilliant. They don't need no blue ribbon tagged on their chest to say that they got some intelligence or say that they're approved by the system. Because last time I looked, most of the kids is fucking in school anyway, and the school failed them. They didn't fail the school. They went to school. The school failed them. So don't look for the schools to educate your people. And never look for the name brand Negroes to fight for you. You're going to have to fight for yourself, New York. You're going to have to stand up for yourself, and you're going to have to do it on your own. And watch those Negro preachers. And when I say Negro preachers, I'm not talking about a particular denomination or a particular faith. Watch those Negro preachers. Because if they just do what's in the Bible, Quran, Circle 7, or whatever they believe, they do what it says in their book. They'll be a great help to our people. If they do what they believe in, say, they'll be a great aid to our movement. If they really did what's in their book, what they say they believe in. Even intellectuals, with all that intellect and all that, he know everything, and he's smart, and he's been to Yale, he's been to Harvard, but he's been right there in Harlem, and we all messed up with all that sense he got. So we all need to come back and learn the two point policies, and that's let's forgive each other, and let's learn how to love each other. And first of all, let's learn how to love a youth. Let's have a week of each elderly person, see a young person, say something, hey, I love you. You're going to be something in life. See that? Make sure you see a young person, that if you're an older person, if you're 30 years and older, 30 and older, if you see a young person in New York, out of the sky blue, point to that young person, you know something, you're going to be somebody. Don't say nothing else to walk away. Encourage the young people. Let's have an encouraging young people year in 2014. Watch how the young people turn and look at you. Instead of scolding and pointing the finger of hatred and self. Come on, man. It's time for us as men and women. We don't need no more big basketball players. They failed us. We don't need no big boxers. They failed us. We don't need no big old movie stars and rappers and singers, all of them has failed us in this era. I'm not talking about back in the day. We needed it back then, but in this era, they have all failed us. All we need in New York City, in Chicago, Detroit, all we need is men and women. If we could just be men and women among each other and forgive each other and respect each other and love each other, but first, love and dignity start with yourself. If we first can look in the mirror and say, I ain't mad at my hair, I ain't upset with my nose, I'm not displeased with my color. I'm who I am, and I'm meant to be who I am. And I'm going out and make a successful attempt to make something happen in my life. If we all love each other, but first, if we love ourselves, we'll be able to move on. But we can't do any of this until we start thinking. If I can't do anything else but the sound of my voice, all I want is our people to think. Think for yourself. Stop following behind all this other stuff that we ain't got nothing to do with. We don't have anything to do with. And that's pretty much all I want to say about New York and this election that just passed.
All right, shalom, shalom. We appreciate your comment. Anyone else have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. Brother Donnie, are you there? He might have still stepped away from the phone. I wanted to say something.
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Tom Chi.
Oh, okay. I just was going to say, you know, I think that it's a beautiful thing. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get everybody to understand that we have to come together. That's why knowledge is important. I think knowledge is very important because when the knowledge truly comes in and you understand exactly what you're dealing with, you understand how to strategize around it. As far as politics and in New York and all of the beautiful things that are happening there, we have to understand one very important thing is, I don't know if you all are familiar with the Black Boule. I had watched a program, a movie. I think it was about the black guy who used to be in the White House, and he was the butler. I watched it on television, and I saw the movie. And I just wanted to let you all know that you have to understand that there are certain protocols, and there are certain people that are allowed to move in certain arenas. When I say allowed to move, those things are closed up to us. There are the only way that we're going to do what the gentleman just gave everybody to do is if we come together as a nation and begin to do things on our own. Because as more as we have elected officials, we've watched Martin Luther King, that 50 years ago he was hollering the same thing, injustice. We need to have more black people working. That was 50 years ago. And where are we today?
We're in the same spot. We ain't moved one iota.
We're in the same position, and you know why we're in the same position? Is because we have that same protocol that was in place when he was marching 50 years ago is still in place today. They are only going to elect certain people to move in certain arenas. Most of these people, these black people, are part of the Black Boule. They run the black colleges. They run the black senators. It's a secret society that black people run. Pull it up on the internet and look at it. Go through it and look at it real good because, like he said, from a grassroots perspective, we've got to come together as a nation so that we can pull some things together on our own. They're not going to allow certain things to go on up there because we got people in Congress right now, black people in Congress right now. Matter of fact, we got a black president.
We do? Are you sure?
That's what they say. I mean, you know, I'm the A. I told him, I said, and you know the game is up. Whenever they give us the ball, we in the last 3 minutes of the game. This thing is about to be over with. No nation has lasted forever. You know, and whether or not we want to accept it or not, all we're trying to do is give you the information. We're going to lead you to the information. We're not recruiting anybody to do anything. But all we're saying is work with the right information so that you understand what's going on. And I got area code 706. I'm going to get to you right now. We're going to open up the mic. Area code 706, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay, yeah, this is Ruche Mike. Okay, this is Ruche Mike from Thompson, Georgia. And I'm just sitting here listening to your show today. And I still go back and say this, and I know I said it plenty of times before, that, you know, you can have all kind of meetings, you got all kind of people sitting there, but it's still got to be about y'all. When you get people sitting in some room, and this from here believing in Jesus, this from here believing in Allah, Buddha, this thing ain't going to work. Because this is a part of the curse, everybody's got to be on one accord when it comes to y'all, because you can't serve y'all no all kind of different ways. I mean, that's just a proven fact. And this is all part of the curse, what we're going through. And I don't worry about the congressmen and senators and whether them, they eavesdropping on telephones and aids and all that, because y'all, this is part of the curse. We knew this was going on. But if we come back to y'all, then, you know, and do what he said, those people can't hurt you then. You know, that's pretty much all I got to say.
All right. We appreciate your comment, Brother Donnie. What you got to say about that? Because my thing is, you know, when we have comments like that and people say all we have to do is come back to the Creator, guess what? He knew the condition that we was going to be in also when he said that we were going to be made to serve other gods of wood and of stone. He knew that. So the people that are still engaged in those arenas, we still have to educate those people in bringing everybody under one umbrella. It's y'all's job to open up their eyes. It's not ours. So like I said, we have to give the information. You go online and check out the Black Boule. It's real. It's serious. Just like they have secret societies, there's one in the black community as well. And no matter how much education you get, no matter how much connections you have, in certain arenas that's already sold up, you can pull it up online where they've interviewed with CNN black people, and they have special balls and debutante balls where they trade among themselves, they marry among themselves. This been going on for a long time, and these are the ones that they pay in order to keep everybody believing that the sky is purple when it's really blue. And so, I mean, you know, these are the things that we're bringing to the table. We're not trying to recruit anybody. We're not trying to give you take you under any specific organization. We're just trying to open up your eyes and let you know what's really going on. Like I said earlier, they've created children. They've created children now that are teenagers now that have three different parents' DNA. They have the DNA of two women and one man. This stuff is getting ready to get diabolical, like we said about Margaret Sanger. They put together a Negro program. It's called the Negro program for you all that were late and didn't come in on time, that they set a precedent for the black women, eugenics, so that the black women would abort their babies. It said that the cancer is 60% higher in the women that have abortions than other women. So these are the things we have to get out. Knowledge is important. It's powerful. Brother Donnie, you have something to say?
I sure do. First of all, you understand, I understand the curse, and I understand what you're saying, my brother, but I still say that if we don't do nothing, if we do something, then we save a lot of people out of the, because the curse is being lifted as we speak. Remember now, there was a chattel slavery. That's when they used to hang us, beat us, maim us, and murder us. That's no more. They took the chains off the leg and they put it on the mind. Now we think we are enslaved. Now we think that we are free, but they still implement the slavery by another name, under another name. You understand? That is eugenics and a number of other things. You understand? I still say that we still, if we don't do nothing to save our own, but, how is that going to happen? The Almighty is great, but he only works if he works, you understand, when you put your hand into something, he helps that hand, you understand? We just can't sit back and just see things going on and don't do nothing. I just don't believe that in my heart, you understand? How can we sit back and see somebody down the street getting maimed and murdered and all we're supposed to do is pray and come back to Yah? How do we come back to Yah anyway? You understand? How do we just pray? Or do we get up out of our seats and we try to put something in place so that we could, so that the Almighty could bless our hand? You understand? I don't believe that we just supposed to sit back and just pray. You understand? That just hurts my heart, man, to hear us just say, that's all we can do is just sit back. You understand? That's not for me. You understand? And if that's all you want to do, please don't stand in the way that people is doing something. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'd like to come back behind that with something as well. Like the gentleman from Chicago that spoke, like Brother Adonia from Atlanta, me, and all other people that are on this line, it's no different than walking up to a young girl that's a streetwalker and telling her, come on, baby, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to sell your body to get no money. It's a plenty of ways for you to be able to survive with your kids. I ain't never sold my body to get a dollar, and I raised four kids. I was divorced, and I raised four children. So you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. That don't take a rocket scientist, and Yah expects us to do that. He expects us to take consideration for our brothers and sisters. What's wrong with a black man walking up to a young man that's carrying a gun that he believes a gun is what makes him a man, and this brother from Chicago telling him, man, I've already been to prison. That ain't a place you want to go. We need to try to find you some employment and show you you can live a different life, because at the end of the day, I can show you 12 brothers that's been in prison and slung more dope than you could ever imagine, and all they want to do is come out and get a job. So you're doing things in the reverse. What's wrong with that?
I'm telling you.
That's what we're supposed to do.
We are responsible for one another. We are responsible for one another. You understand? Prayer is great, man. You know what you need to pray for? Pray that everything that we do work. You understand? You know, pray that the Almighty will bless our hand and our endeavor. You understand? You know, I had a brother told me, you understand, he don't mind dying. You understand? You know why? That, you know what that is? That's lost of hope. He ain't got no hope. You understand?
Right.
We got to show these brothers and put things in place so that they can see that there's another way. There's a different way. They don't have to do this. They don't have to go out like they're going out. You understand? So I'm one that, man, listen, if you're not going to do nothing, please don't stand in the way. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. And that's the reason for the show. And that's why we have so many people. And that brother from Chicago putting together some situations where we can all come to the table and sit down and talk. Because it first starts with talking. Yes, we do have to come sit down and talk and strategize and have a plan so that we can bring people to the table. We got to at least get people to the table because we scattered as it is.
Remember, yeah, now, remember, let me go one here for a little bit. In Ezra's time, you understand, we was in captivity by the Babylonians, you understand? And in Ezra's time, you understand, they made a move to go back to the to rebuild the temple, you understand? That was a movement that they had to make. They didn't sit back and just pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, that's the purpose. I agree with the brother. We do need to get the grassroots situation going. We do need to get our young people engaged. But we need to have our own politics because, like he said, the only way to hurt them is to keep your dollars back. And if we start spending our dollars among ourselves and we do what we need to do, that's why we tell y'all it's nation-building time. It's time for us to come together as a nation. We came on these ships over here as a nation, and we have always been a separate people from the rest of the people. We've got to come back to that. Because we've got to take our dollars that we have and spend it in our own community. Because they're not going to help us. We got a black man sitting up in office. He is a president of the United States. How many resources has he put in the black community?
Okay, we have some white presidents that did more than Barack Obama's doing for us, you understand, as a nation, and they didn't do nothing.
He clearly told us he was not just going to be a black president for the black people. He was going to be everybody's president. Well, guess what? It ain't no everybody game, because guess what? We are definitely separated from everybody else and treated differently. Anytime Margaret Sanger can have a program called the Negro Project to the point where they spend billions of dollars making sure that they influence our young people, young girls, to get sterilized or have abortions so that they can depopulate us as a people, that's a conspiracy.
That is correct. Absolutely.
And as much as we don't want to go back to the Bible, to be able to find out what the heck is going on, because this is not a religion. Let me clear everything for everybody. We are not a religion. We are a nation. We are a nation that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we belong to him. Anytime you can turn to Psalm 83, and it says they conspired against us. 10 nations came together, and it names the nation. That the name of Israel be remembered no more, that's some serious business. They still doing it today.
That is correct.
So, I mean, this is real serious. And as much as we walk the streets and we protest and we pave and we come up against them, it's some serious stuff going on. They got the game on lockdown. And they, like the brother said from Chicago last week, they trade them dollars among themselves. They grease each other's pockets, and they trickle just enough down to make it seem like that they've done something. And then they invite all the people from the neighborhood to come in and get free computer classes, and they keep a census of everybody that has come into the program, and then they submit the information back to the government and say, see, we did something to help the community. They don't want nothing. These are all the people that we could get to come in. Bull crap.
That is correct. I agree with you 100%. You understand?
Oh, that ship done sailed already. I don't know how much we can do to tell y'all. The only way we're going to survive is
that they put in implement something to help us. It takes 10 years for it to take effect, and it becomes null and void because the situation that they tried to fix got bigger in the 10 years. So they didn't do a thing, not nothing. You understand? So, you know, we're in big trouble here. We got to realize we got to come together as a nation and fix this problem. We can fix this problem because we the same people that works in the government. We the same people, you understand, that works on the highways. We the same people that works in these factories and industries. You understand? We need to bring all of these things to the table so that we can start building our own industry. Our own nation, you understand, so that we will have something. See, in 1936, I think that we produced 0.5% of the gross net products in America. And guess what we do today? We produce 0.5% of the gross net product. So we ain't moved not one iota. You understand? So, I mean, you know, we got to, you know, see, here's where they got us fooled. They got us bamboozled. You understand? They got us thinking that if we join in part of this here, we all going to be all right. It ain't happened in 400 years.
Okay.
It hasn't happened in a hundred years of us being freed. So we need to try to do something for ourselves. You understand? Let's try that. You understand? Since we tried everything else, let's try to do something for our own self. See how that worked. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, when you think about Martin Luther King said he made a statement that he felt like he had ran our people into a burning house. You know why? Because guess what they did? They fought against him, they killed him, and then they turned around and said, how can we make this work best for us? We can desegregate everything. But guess what? In desegregating everything, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of all the black businesses, and we're going to take over all the dollars. So where we used to have the black mom and pop stores, and we had the black plumbing companies and the black electrician companies and all of the different companies that we used to have and some clothing stores. My grandfather used to run a neighborhood store where the people would come and buy bread and milk and different things from him. All that stuff, guess what they did? They took it all away. So when they desegregated everything, they took all the dollars back for themselves. So guess what we're doing now? We're buying from all the other nations. We have to go right to the other nations to get the things that we have. We got people out. All I'm saying, people, is we have people out there that are intelligent. We have people out there that write books. We have people out there that sew. We have people out there that are, like you said, vocationally experienced. We need to put together a chamber of commerce where we can start producing and buying among ourselves. All I'm telling you is let's take our dollars back.
I agree with you.
Spend them with them. That tell the correct. Baby to quit, cut the weeds out your hair and quit making the Chinese people rich. Because we made everybody else rich but ourselves.
That is correct. Malcolm X said.
Then we go to them and say, well, y'all got these programs. We want some of them dollars. They're not going to give us nothing. They're going to look at you. We have a black man that is the president of the United States of America, and he has not done anything to help us. Matter of fact, he's taken more rights away from us than any other president has.
And that is correct.
President Barack Obama has signed more executive orders to take away, to go against the Constitution than any other president.
That is correct.
And he told you when he got elected, I'm not just the black people's president. I'm everybody's president.
Well,
so in other words, he'll let you know I ain't the one, so don't come up to me asking me for nothing. If you're going to do it, you better get it done yourself.
That is correct. See, it's not. There's no time for the elite or our Christian ministers or even our civil rights groups. It's time for the common person, the grassroots people, to get involved with our destination, with our destiny. You understand? We can build our own destiny. I mean, we need to take charge of our own destiny. We didn't put our destiny in their hands all along, you understand? And we haven't moved not one iota. Now it's time for us to do something, the grassroots folks, you understand? Let's come to the table and find out how we can fix this, you understand what I'm saying? We don't want to scrap the whole program. We just want to fix this, not what's not working. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I mean, if it, like they used to say back in the old days, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's broke. It's our way broke. It's broke all the way down. And you think we working with a little bit of nothing now? This country is on its way out. So for all of you all that don't know that, I can give you a history. Like we said, we have a school of knowledge that's opening up the 1st of February. And some people will be like, well, why do we need to know that? Knowledge is power. I can give you a history of the nations, because it ain't but how many nations according to the scriptures, how many one-world governments it is? Let's see, it was Babylon, it was the Medo-Persians, it was the Greeks, it was the Romans, and then it was the Ten Toes. So we ain't got but really six nations that's going to be in rule today. And guess where we are on that statue in Daniel chapter 2? We down at the bottom in the Ten Toes. According to prophecy, this is it. It ain't going to be no more after this.
That
ain't no more nations after this. This is it. Now, whether you believe that or not, I don't know. But if you believe in that word and you claim that you know that word, go to Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and the Most High told Daniel to tell him, you are the head of gold. That was Babylon. He said, and then after you get finished, because you ain't going to last forever either, then come the Medes and the Persians. That was Russia and Iraq together, and they still the Medes and the Persians today. And after y'all get finished, somebody going to take over you, and that was the Greeks. That's Alexander the Great. This ain't biblical stuff. This is history.
That is correct.
After the Great get finished, the Romans is coming in, and they're going to take over. And Rome ruled for 700 years.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what it did? It revived itself as the Roman Catholic Church. We're still under Rome today, and the Ten Toes is the European nations that are ruling the earth right now, under the United Nations government. This is it, people. It ain't going to be no more after this.
Ooh-wee. That's
so we got to get real, real with what's really going on. This ain't going to last forever.
That is correct.
As a matter of fact, this nation, that particular nation that he was talking about, is split up into three parts. So while I got you on the phone, let me run a little history down to you. The United States, Britain, the city of London, And the Vatican is all one entity. It is one entity. When you go to Washington, D.C., you are in a totally different nation outside of the United States. So the Washington, D.C. is the military part of the nation. The city of London is the financial part of the nation. And the Vatican is the religious part of the nation. And if you don't believe that, do your homework. This is it.
That is correct.
We don't have 50 more years. So either we're going to man up and we're going to come together, or we're just going to throw in the towel and lay down and die. We got to start coming together to figure out how we going to eat until whatever move we need to make is made.
That is correct. Absolutely. And I agree 100%. You know,
and these are prophecies, and everybody come up, we don't know if the Bible is real, the Bible ain't got nothing to do with it. Guess what? Daniel prophesied in 150 words. After Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, he prophesied in 150 words, 2,500 years of governmental history that came to pass on a dime.
That is correct. That is absolutely and positively correct. So we can stop acting stupid and start doing something for our own, you know, we cannot continuously contribute to our own demise. We have to do something, you understand, that's going to uplift our people and try to put our people back on the map, or even on the map, because we ain't been on the map in so long, we don't even know that we were there. You understand? So, you know, we need to go ahead and try to do something for ourselves, man. Malcolm X said this. He said that we...
Like I said, we don't have a problem coming to the table with our brothers and sisters because we love y'all. We love all of our brothers and sisters, whether they're Christian, Muslim, whatever.
Absolutely.
You turn, we still love you, and we're trying our best to come together as a people so that we can survive in the meantime, because as far as we can find, and from the prophecies that we get, we out of here in a minute. I mean, real talk, and I had somebody laugh at me and said, where you going? I said, wherever the Most High take us, because he said in the scriptures, I'm going to prepare a place of safety for you, because there's some times coming. Let me tell y'all something. Like I said, if they ever let me get loose, I'm going to share some stuff with you, because there's some times coming that ain't none of us never seen that's ever happened in the history of mankind. It's getting ready to get bad up in here. They create human beings that are not normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normal for a child to have three different codes in its DNA. It's supposed to either have the mother or it's supposed to have the father. But they got two women and one man spurred up into children. And these children are teenagers now.
Mm-hmm.
They messing with DNA. They doing all kind of stuff. They create monsters.
You know, believe that or not, man, you know, they had some writings back that is, I didn't believe it at the time, but they talked about this guy, this scientist called Yaku. And Yaku had created some horrible stuff, man. You understand?
Brother Donny, are they doing it right now in the lab? And you know what? They got it all over the internet. You got white folks just telling their people all over the internet, get prepared, get survival kits, start storing up food, start getting gas masks, get stuff prepared just in case. We have a chemical warfare. Anything can happen. But you know what? Black people so busy partying and they so busy getting high, ain't nobody paying attention. The government done already said if we have another natural disaster, we will not be able to take care of you. So be able to prepare for your own family. They sending this stuff so people will know, and people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't believe that in that time, but I see it now. I see it. You know what I'm saying? Almighty is, and he going to save us. But it ain't going to happen unless we do something. And that's my cry.
Like you said, it's going to take us to come together for the Most High to provide the dollars for us to come together, because our family is going to have some place to run to in the event, because it is getting ready to get bad out here. Our economy is not going to survive. It's not going to revive itself. It's not.
Yeah.
We've had all kind of analysts, economic analysts on the line stating that the country is over. I mean, as we know it, the manufacturing part of the country is gone.
That is correct.
Ooh. Man, you should go to Detroit. Detroit looks like a ghost town. They had, you know how in the old Western movies, when the city was destitute, they had the twigs blowing across the town? That's how the parking lot look up there for Ford and GM.
I know that's right.
Weeds is growing up out of the cracks of it.
We used to get leather shoes. Now we get plastic.
Yeah. And you know what? And they trying to keep up a good front, and they trying to keep morale up to the point where the people don't get afraid. But when you look at the unemployment rate, it's going to get work. It is going to get worse.
It is our time now to make a difference. That's what we need to do. It's our time to stand.
Yes,
if we don't make a difference now, there will be no other time.
I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. I mean, it's not going to get no better. They can rally. You can put more people in office. But if you don't have all the information that you're working with, you're just going to just be spinning your wheels. Martin Luther King talked about us changing and things changing for us. That was 50 years ago, and we're still in the same condition. Well, matter of fact, we still in the same condition. They just polished it up to make it look a little different, but we're still in the same position. We've got to do something.
And it's even gotten worse, man. They got almost 2 million of our brothers and sisters locked up in the penitentiary. They got they have already gotten I don't know how many body bags said sitting on laying on the side, you understand, waiting for us to uprise, you understand. They also got these concentration camps, internment camps, they want to call them, you understand. So it's gotten worse. It ain't gotten no better, you understand. And they didn't put these things together just to have them. They put these things together because they're gonna use them in a little while.
And you know what? Go online and look at the concentration camps. Type in the concentration. They got caskets and everything. Certain zones set aside. They got it set up just like they did for the Holocaust. Look for the concentration camps. Look at the caskets that they got set up. Rows and rows of it. Lines and lines of it. And guess what they do? These politicians ain't worried about that because they got cities underground built in the rocks and everything where they can go right up underground. While whatever's getting ready to happen is going to happen, and everybody else is going to be left to fend for themselves. And I'm like the brother. We got to pray. We got to ask Yah to help us at some point. But right now, while it's not like that, we can start putting things together because you should have an emergency plan set up anyway.
That is correct.
If your family is going to, just say, for instance, your family goes to work tomorrow, and all of a sudden the sirens start ringing and blowing, and there's a chemical warfare, and there's people are panicked everywhere. Do you have a plan set up for your family in the event that something like that happens? Do you have a meeting place set up for you to say, okay, if we get separated, we all know to come to this spot so we can have everything we need when the time comes? Most of us will say no.
That is correct. We
do
need
you have
to
at least a month worth of food, whether it be dried or however we have to eat, so that you can feed yourself if you can't get to the store?
That is correct.
It's survival 101. That's all we're saying. Just have a plan set up. Because it's crazy not to, especially when you have the money to do it. Now, everybody don't have money to do it, and that's why we're trying to get together where we have people donate certain things. So that in the event we get enough, we'll be able to help those people that don't have it.
That is correct.
People spend,
because
we're powerful. You know what, brother, don't you spend $600 to $700 for cell phones? Cell phones!
I know that's right.
All we doing is trying to bring it to the table for you to say, hey, people, we got to start doing something to help ourselves. We need to start coming together. Like I said, we got the Hebrew nations that have agricultural food. They're putting food together. They're doing things right now. In the event that we have to go and get food and the grocery stores aren't working, we have seeds that are not genetically modified. So if you want to start growing stuff, you can contact and get seeds so you can start growing. I mean, for real, it's getting ready to get bad. And they know it. They're preparing for it.
That is correct. Because then we got to stop contributing to our own demise and start contributing to our own to our survival. You understand? Because if we don't do it, we're gonna perish as a nation.
And also, I want to make an announcement. It's 5:25. If you have other people that want to call in, I suggest they do it now. Because at 5:30, you will not be able to call in. I think it's been a very productive show, but at the same time, we have our work to do. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves. Do you know how many people, black people, are dying from diabetes because they are eating this genetically modified food, and this food is caught, they're consuming sugar. Let me tell you what a dietitian told someone that I know that's trying to lose weight. They told them, stay away from high fructose corn syrup. This is what they're using now to sweeten everything that we eat. This stuff produces fat while you're sleeping. And I mean everybody's fat.
That is correct.
Then she said, stay away from it. You do better just to use regular sugar. Stay away from anything pre-sweetened or pre-packaged if you can. We got to start eating right. What do we teach? Eat right. Eat right. Eat according to the scriptures. Don't eat. The Most High told you don't eat certain foods.
That is correct.
You know what I told myself? I said, man, when we go to the wilderness, what am I going to do about my medicine? Because I take high blood pressure medicine. And the Spirit said, lose the weight so you can get off the medicine. Clear as day. It's time to get in shape. It's time to get ourselves together because I'm telling y'all think I'm crazy, but I guess I'll just stop yelling it. I mean, because at some point it's like we got to take responsibility for our actions and we got to get our families prepared and we got to cut the TV off and start talking to each other and strategizing. Okay, if there's a tornado and our neighborhood is torn, what do we do? If there's something that happens where we have a natural disaster, what is the plan? What is our emergency plan? How are we going to survive? You know, these are the things that we get ready for. Like I tell my children, everybody get a backpack, what you call them kids carry them all the time, a book bag. Everybody get a book bag, and you put stuff in that book bag. In the event we need to pick up and move, everything you need is in that book bag, and you don't touch it. You leave it alone and put it back in the closet. And when the time comes and you got to go get that book bag, you know you got to be willing to do what you need to do and get missing. We got to get ready. In the event that there's something wrong and we need to go to a certain location or we have a problem, we need to have stuff in place.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
All of us on pills. They got the kids on pills, the grown-ups on pills, everybody on pills. They taking some sort of medication. And you know they used to then. The pharmaceutical companies have gotten rich. Everybody on medication. And I'm going to say one more thing. Stop eating McDonald's. It's not real food. I challenge everybody on this radio show to go buy a McDonald's hamburger. Go get a McDonald's cheeseburger and a 99-cent fry. That's $2. Go spend $2 and get a hamburger with cheese on it and a 99-cent fry and put it on a plate and just let it sit. I guarantee you next year when you go back to that hamburger, it'll still look like regular hamburger. The cheese won't be the melted and the bread won't be the melted. And the french fries will still be french fries. The meat will not decompose. It's not real food.
Yeah. Yeah, they got us. They got us. They got us eating out them stores. You understand? It's just so sad that because we won't even think about trying to do something on our own. They got a few brothers and sisters that do have these farms, man. But they're not producing enough food to survive a nation on. You understand? So we need to try to help them. You understand? Try to produce some stuff, man, to put up so that we could sustain our living, man. It's up to us now. It's not up to them. You understand? We need to stop depending on them other folks. You understand? Like they love us, they do not love us. We one of the people that they trying to exterminate.
Oh, it is. That's the truth. Guess what? When I was growing up, my grandmother cooked everything fresh. She bought everything fresh. I did the same thing. I didn't buy canned goods. I don't have a canned good in here today, and if it is in here, my daughter brought it because she refuses to do what she was taught. They ate. My children were very rarely sick. Let me say it again. Very rarely did I have to take them to the doctor. I can't even remember a good month worth of visits that they went to the doctor in their lifetime. They're getting us through the food, people. They're getting us through the food.
Yeah, that is correct.
We're going to have to go back to the natural way we used to eat and start cooking. Stop the, anything they pre-make and pre-do, you're going to have to just divorce it because they're getting us through the food.
That is correct.
They're getting us. I bet you in a year's time that McDonald's hamburger will not rot. That meat will not rot. It will not go bad. It won't.
Yep. Yeah, you know, even in the grocery store, man, they mix that food with some thing called pink slime. I heard that on TV. I stopped buying hamburger.
He took the words right out of my mouth. The pink slime. I bought some hamburger one time and I brought it home and I cooked it and it tastes like metallic. It tastes metallic. And I took
that
it
is
back
correct.
To the store and I asked. I said, do you all mix pink slime in your hamburger? And she was like, what? What is pink slime? She called back to the meat department, and he said, we do, but it's very little. Go on YouTube and look up pink slime and see what it is. It's got ammonia in it. It's got, oh, it's terrible. They put this in the hamburger to kill off the pathogen. They trying to kill it.
Man, I had to stop eating hamburger, and I like hamburger. You understand? But I should know better. You understand? They ain't gonna do nothing right. They trying to save and put back and pull every dollar out this whole society, man. You understand? For what reason? I have no idea because it ain't gonna be no good after a while. I'm telling you.
But guess what? You know how you can get around that? You can go to the butcher part of the grocery store, and you can buy a steak, and you can have them grind it up like hamburger. I mean,
yeah,
it's all beef. You just
take
it out and just have them go grind it up as hamburger and bring it back out to you. But anything that's already prepackaged, because I know here we have a Kroger's and everything is 10 for 10. You can get 10 for 10. That's the stuff you need to stay away from. Because anytime they sell it 10 for 10, believe me when I tell you, they do not have our best interest at heart, people. We got to start getting ourselves together health-wise. We got to watch what we eat. We have to be prepared for any type of an emergency, and we have to know exactly what we're dealing with so we're not spinning our wheels. Because all this empowerment and we need to change stuff and everything going to be all right, and if we just eat the young, all that's good as long as we're doing it for ourselves. But as long as we think we're going to infiltrate something and change their system, you fooling yourself. We tried that for 50 years, and we still running around in circles.
That is correct. You understand? You know, the method to our madness is that we need to start producing our own stuff. We need people that deal with animals and, you know, the cooking of animals doing our own farming and getting our own stuff together. Because if we, you know, as long as, let me tell you something, we're not going to survive as a nation if we keep doing, if we just keep eating what they produce. You understand? Because they cutting corners here and cutting corners there. You understand what I'm saying? Without having the people's in mind. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm talking about their own folk, too. They don't care about their own folk, neither.
No, they sure don't. That is the truth. So, I mean, you know, once again, we try everything we can every week. We bring information to you every week. We get everybody to understand, you know, from a grassroots, from a personal experience. Let's deal with your families, one family at a time. You know, let's just do things a little different this time since we have this knowledge. Let's sit our daughters down and explain to our daughters the importance of abstinence. You know, I know we can't control what they do, and we don't promote them doing anything that's contrary to the word, but at the same time, if they gonna do it, you still gonna have to at least talk to them about that as well. You know, the contraceptives that they can use, you know, so that they can protect themselves from diseases. That way, you know, we don't have to worry about babies being aborted. We don't agree with those things, and we don't promote those things, but in reality, they do what they want to do. So, you know, we can't ignore the situation either. We have to address every issue. You know, and the Most High gives us a responsibility to care about each other. You
that
know,
is
we
correct.
The caring about each other, somebody might grab onto a little information and say, let me look into this a little more and see what these people talking about. Just maybe they be making sense. maybe something about what they say makes a little sense, and let them make their own decision whether they want to go this way or not. It's not our job to browbeat anybody or to make anybody feel like we're recruiting them into anything. We're just providing information.
Yeah, that's true.
And we are at the bottom of the statutes, people. Read Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes. We at the 10 toes is mixed with iron and clay. And that's the 10 nations. That's the European nations that are running this system that we're in right now. That's the last one world government that ever was. And everybody talks about Egypt. And Egypt was this. Egypt was never a world power.
Yep.
According to the scriptures, Egypt was never a world power. It was Babylon first. And then it was Russia and Iran second, the Medes and the Persians. Then it was Greece third. And then it was Rome for 700 years. And then after that, it was the feet and the 10 toes, which is the European Union that we're dealing with right now. This is it. Ain't no more. Ain't nothing else after that.
That is correct.
Is the Most High coming, and it says the rock was hewed out of the mountain and hit the statue in the legs, and the statue crumbled. So this is it.
That is correct. So this is our time now. It's our move, you understand, in order to save our soul, you understand. It's up to us now.
Yes, it's up to us, and we got to do something. We got to do something. And like I said, we do this out of love. This money comes out of our pockets. And we do this every week so that we can send some information to you so we can prepare, because guess what? The other nations is preparing. Don't you think them white folks ain't got food stored up and ammunition and guns and bullets? They got all kind of stuff stored up. The ones that's awaiting and knowing what's getting ready to go down, they preparing their children. They teaching their children how to shoot guns and teaching them how to survive out in the wilderness. They doing all kind of stuff. Been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And black folks dancing and buying gym shoes.
That's sad. That is sad.
Ooh, and going to the welfare office, because in a minute ain't going to be no stamps or none of that. In a minute, they're going to cut it down to the bare minimum. I heard a white analyst say that Barack Obama might be our last president of the United States. Because let me give y'all a little word of advice. I heard Kissinger, pull it up on YouTube, Kissinger said that they're grooming him to be the leader of the one world government. This is going to be done in Europe. He's going over to the Middle East.
That's going to be one terrible situation here we up against. We up against one terrible situation here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
yes.
I can't say it more, better than what we've been saying it. You understand? Is that we need to try to do something for our own self and stop contributing to our own demise.
Yes, sir. They selling our nation off to China. They said China is up in Detroit buying up houses like it ain't nobody's business.
Ooh-wee.
Man. Matter of fact, one of our largest department malls up here, Tri-County Mall, China owns it. Bought it up. They own it. They own Tri-County Mall. There's a company in China that owns Tri-County Mall, one of the largest malls in the city. A lot of people don't know that. They selling off parts of America to these countries that they owe money to.
Yep.
And in a minute, it ain't going to be the same way you think it's going to be. People going to be wondering what happened. Martial law going to come in on the scene, and you're going to be shocked. They already got foreign troops over here practicing and getting ready for martial law from other countries.
Yep.
But we dancing
and them people
and
don't play. They didn't know. They ain't gonna have no sympathy on us at all.
Oh, shoot to kill. You ain't where you supposed to be. You gonna get shot down. That's what martial law is. You got to be in the right place where you supposed to be, and it ain't gonna be no free travel. You ain't just gonna do whatever you want to do. You gonna have to be going in a specific place to a specific location and have papers to get there.
Mm.
But we ain't paying no attention, because guess what? Everybody want to make a name for themselves. when I understand we got to eat and I understand we got to have leaders and I understand that, but it's time for us to have leaders from within and start talking to our people. It's time for us to get together as a nation and begin to share, to spread this news around so that we can get prepared for what's getting ready to happen, because the Most High said he was going to prepare a place of safety for us.
Mm-hmm, that is
said.
That's why we got to try to come together and seek righteousness and humility.
Yeah. And then somebody told me that the fish, you know, the what is that fish everybody like to eat?
Tilapia.
They're starting to mix pork into the food that they feed in the tilapia fish.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep, so we up against it, man. We couldn't get more closer to our destruction than we are right now. So we need to pull ourselves, you know, pull our heads out and start trying to do something, man. Otherwise, man, we can kiss our cardio goodbye, boy.
And guess what? The next generation, they're going to wipe out all inklings of us ever being slaves and ever being brought over here on the ships. And before you know it, they're going to have our next generation thinking that we just came over here to get jobs and we just one big old happy family, and they're going to finish us off with the rest of it. You know, I'm telling y'all, we got men on TV tongue kissing each other, women on TV tongue kissing each other, and it's damn this.
Yeah. Yeah, this stuff is horrible, man. It makes my heart cries out for us, man. I'm talking about it hurts me to my heart, man, to see us the way we treat one another and how we need to know a situation that's going on and we're not doing nothing about it. That's what really hurts me.
No, sir. We got to change. We got to come together. We got to start spending dollars among ourselves. We got to get prepared for an emergency in the event something happens.
This summit that you're talking about in Chicago, man, we need to try to get that going on. So if there's anything that I could do, please let me know.
Well, I'm waiting on the gentleman that was on the line earlier. They're supposed to be getting a summit together for us to come together so we can have a conversation to be able to talk realistically. We'll have a conversation to be able to come together as a nation and talk to our children, talk to our adults. And you come and strategize as to how we're going to do this and get this done and lead the fake politicians to each other, let them do what they normally do, and we need to start eating because, like you said, we may end up having to grow some of our own stuff because it's going to get bad.
Yes, it is. And this is not nothing to just look past. This is something that is about to happen. You understand? If it's not happening already, I mean, it's already in motion. You understand? So we just got to try to do it and do it right, man, and get it together.
Those people that are on low-income housing and living in low-income apartments and seniors and stuff, you know, my advice is start saving your money because they have houses out there you can spend $5,000 for and get you a house and have your own house because those government programs are going to end, too. They cutting all that stuff. They getting ready to cut all that stuff. Those are the strategies that we need to start putting together. We need real estate agents to go around and find out where these houses are that they have for cheap. We need to be fixing up these houses and getting our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents situated and all the stuff. It's a lot of stuff we need to get done because once they yank them programs, if you ain't going to be able to take yourself, guess what? They're going to put your butt right in the concentration camp because you're not going to be a productive asset to society.
That is correct.
Let me tell you something. My aunt was dying. My aunt was, she used to work for the Department of Defense her whole life, retired from the Department of Defense. She was 86 years old, and she came down with an illness. And when I took her to the hospital, I'm going to tell you what the doctor told me verbatim. He said, we have medicine that can help her, but we're not going to give it to her because she's already lived out the quality of life. He said, if it was you and you're in your 40s, we would do everything in our power to make sure that you could live a little longer. In other words, we're not going to waste no medicine on her. And I went to every lawyer that I could find to try to come up against that, and each one of them agreed with him and said, there's nothing we can do. So the old people that get sick, they do.
That's right. They cutting their lifeline, for sure.
Cutting it. I mean, that's serious. I couldn't believe it. I said, excuse me? This woman paid taxes her whole life. He said, we are not wasting that medicine on her.
I know that's right, man. I know that was heartbreaking.
My goodness. I just couldn't believe it. And I watched her deteriorate. They said, we will keep her comfortable, and we will do whatever we need to do. But in other words, if her body starts shutting down, we're not doing nothing to help the situation.
Yeah, they told the same thing about my mother. So I understand perfectly. You understand? It's not, you know, you understand? So in essence, man, we have life surviving skills from our ancient forefathers that we need to try to put in practice. You understand? We need to set up our own clinics. This is why I was trying to get us to get a financial institute together, so that we can support some of these things, man, so we don't have to go to them folks, man, and ask them for a thing, not nothing, so that they could tell us, there's nothing that we can do for you. You understand? They tell you that with a straight face.
Oh, dude, they told me, I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to help her. I'm sorry, we can't give her any. We're not going to waste the medicine on her. I was just like, wow. I mean, I never expected them to say that. And I was like, wow, that's cruel. That is cruel. But you know what? Like they said, the pharmaceutical companies are in business to make money. Now, let me tell you what they did do. They kept her in the hospital for a couple of weeks so they could drain her insurance because she had
plenty. Yeah, drain that savings account. You understand? That money. You understand? Keep getting that money for them, for those drugs that they giving her. You understand? Or those instruments that they'll do that. They'll definitely do that. You understand? So, you know, see, I it's not no easy thing, but if we could get together just feeding ourselves on a regular basis and start eating properly and eating right, you understand what I'm saying? We'll live a much longer life, you understand? And, you know, and instead of going through the agony of death, you understand, in and out and all that, you understand, we might be able to live a long life to the point where we are dying in our sleep. You understand? We won't have to go and wait for somebody to keep us on a lifeline. You understand? You know, so, you know, these are things that we got to do. It's not nothing it's not something that we can just sit back and wait and gradually put this is, we up against it here.
Absolutely. And so we're not going to hold you guys any longer. Brother Donia, you got some last words that you'd like to say to everybody because we still have a lot of people online?
Yeah, first of all, I want to tell everybody that I love them with all my heart and soul. I love the Almighty with all my heart and soul. And I want to let everybody know that it's our time now. If we don't do nothing to save our soul, save our life, you understand, we're going to perish as a nation. You understand? This generation don't do nothing, the next generation going to catch it, really catch it, because it's getting worse for us now. What do you think is going to happen for the next generation? Whew. Hallelujah.
There's going to be nobody. Well, and we'd like to say that this is the conclusion of our show for tonight. We hope that everyone has enjoyed it. We've listened. We've given out some good information. I guess the Reverend didn't get a chance to call in. Hopefully he will be able to make it next week. We thank brother from Chicago for calling in and giving his insight on what we need. We're trying to come together so that we can put together survival kits, give information about, you know, where to buy the seeds and where to get food from in the event, how to purify water and how to, you know, get prepared for in any kind of disaster that we may run up against, and have our families have some sort of emergency preparedness system set up for your families and stuff. We getting all this stuff together so we can give it to our people and get our people ready for what could possibly happen. You know,
I want to say one more thing here. I was watching the History Channel, and the water that is that we could use that is being polluted. You understand? So if that water gets polluted, we in big trouble here, boy. We in big trouble. You understand? They had some water that had some that come out the faucet that was gray. They said that it wasn't enough pollutant in it that would make us sick. Man, you didn't even want to drink that. It smelled bad and it looked bad. You understand? So you know, and if they tell you that that they, you know, they just clean it up with the fact that it just looked bad and it smelled bad, but it wasn't enough in it. If you drank it, it wouldn't do nothing to you. You understand? But if that water gets polluted, we in big trouble, son.
You say you had smoke coming off of it, and they say it's all right, just brush it off, you'll be...
I'm telling you, boy. Mm-mm-mm.
You got to do something. I mean, for real, real talk, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I've studied it all, but for real, store up something. Put something away. I mean, for real, put something away and get prepared for whatever, because... And another thing, pay off your bills. Start running up some credit cards. Pay that mess off. Get completely out of debt where you don't owe nobody nothing. Because, man, I believe they're going to bring back the debt prison in a minute. Because, I mean, they coming after folks with student loans like the police. It's like, man, ain't no job. How you going to give me money free to go to college to get a degree? And then ain't no job to pay the stuff back with.
That is correct. What'd you say?
The water came out gray.
Gray, and it smelt bad. You understand? They said if you drank it, you understand that it wasn't enough pollutants in it to kill you or to make you sick. But if you smell bad, you ain't gonna drink it. Ooh wee. You understand? So we gotta be thinking about how we gonna clean up some water if when the situation gets bad. I'm not saying if the situation gets bad. I'm saying when the situation gets bad, we gonna have to have water. If we don't have no water, we can kiss our cardio goodbye, boy.
You got me over here. It's not too high. They told you just drink it. It'll be out. We got to get, you can't bathe in it, you can't do nothing. We have to have water.
That is correct.
That is just way too much going on for me. Like I said, we love you. We want everybody to be in control of their own destiny. Pay your bills off. Start paying them credit cards off. Cut that mess up. Buy the things that you need. It's time to get serious about this for real, people. Start paying off your bills.
Look, if they said that out and they put that on TV for people to see to scare you, they scared the shit out of me. Excuse my expression.
I feel you, because I know I'm too funny. I can't do nothing that don't smell right. I mean, for real, it's got to look right and smell right for me to be able to eat it or drink it. So I know I would have had a serious problem with that. It would have been a problem. That's serious business. So, like I said, it's time, y'all, just start buying some cases of water. And but then they say the plastic bottles cause cancer.
That is correct. Here's what I do with my water. I take most of the water that I get, I take it and take it out of those plastic things, and I put it in the refrigerator in something else that I know that can hold the water. You know, they got other little containers that you can get, you understand, that may not, the plastic, may not have that plastic thing in them, you understand, but we don't know, man, because we ain't producing nothing, so we don't know. But I try not to leave the water in that thing. I pour it into something else, man, you know, and then most of the time I try to boil it. You understand? I don't know how good that is, or how good it works. But I know I need to, you know, I need to try everything, man. You understand? Because I don't want to just drink that water, man. You understand? Next thing I know, man, my arm is stuck to my side or something. You understand? Because they got something for us. I'm telling you. You understand?
Well, you know what I do? I save my glass bottles. Anytime I buy, because I used to drink that drink called Evergreen or Everfresh or whatever thing. I think it's called Everfresh. And I would save those bottles and just rinse them out real good because they glass and they had a slip top on it You can put water in there. Start saving your containers. I mean, when you pay attention to the different containers that we get, when we buy certain things, save your containers so that you'll be able to do certain things. Where, you know, if you want to buy something to drink, get some lemons. Go buy you a crate of lemons and put the lemons. You can freeze lemons. Put them in the freezer and freeze them. And make you some fresh lemonade. If you want something to drink, tea bags, make some fresh tea. Try to stay away from the stuff that's already made up for you because you're drinking chemicals.
That is correct. You understand?
You're basically drinking chemicals.
Yep. You know, so I you know, I'm going to close, you understand, by telling everybody, like I said, I love all you guys, and we need to try to do something for ourselves, you understand, instead of depending on them folks, because they don't have our interests at heart, you understand. They don't even have their own interests at heart. They don't believe in them. Remember, those are the same people that was in Europe, you understand, during the Dark Ages, they call it, you understand, and they didn't even have toilet toilet facilities. They used to do their business and let it run down the main street, man. So them people didn't care nothing about one another.
and don't wait to the last minute. Please don't wait to the last minute. It doesn't take a lot. Maybe $10 a month, $20 a month. Take that money out of your check every month and start doing something toward preparation. That's all we're saying is put something away in the event that something happens. Have some money stashed somewhere else. Don't have it stashed in your house because if something happens, a natural disaster happens or something, that money gone. Find a location where you can put it at and you know where you can get to it if you need it. Do not put it in the bank. Do not put it in a safety deposit box. Do not. Because guess what? That's all that stuff. Don't find somewhere else to put it.
Where you can
get to it when you need it, and you'll have it at your availability, your fingertips when you need it if something happens. That's all we can is be prepared because everybody uses them credit cards. Everybody swipe. But if something happens where you got to physically have some cash and they close down that credit card business to the point where they shut down those computers and you can't use your card, they done did it here with the food stamp machine. Now if you go in the grocery store, all the girls are standing around, they push their carts over to the side because the food stamp machine don't work. They ran past to see whether or not, and the kids couldn't eat. All they could do was walk out the store because that's how they eat. Have some money tucked away somewhere.
Yep, that is true. Hallelujah.
And you can get water, and you can get you a couple of granola bars or something. Have something put it to a point where you can eat. And I know we say don't eat anything processed, but when you're on the go, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have to get something that's going to sustain you and keep you in the event there's an emergency. That's all we're saying is prepare for whatever and don't be left in the dark. And on that note, what time is it, Brother Damian?
It's nation building time. Hallelujah.
Nation building time. And guess what? We're going to see you all next week. Same time, same place. And we're glad that you made it with us. And we say hallelujah and shalom, shalom, everybody. See you later. Bye-bye.
DJ at Low.
I never knew such a day could come, and I never knew such a love could be inside of one. I never knew what my life was for, but now that you're here, I know for sure.
I wasn't gonna be till the day you walked into my life. And I never knew that my heart could feel so precious and pure. One love so real.
I just see you every morning.
Every morning, baby.
I'm here, baby.
Every day.
the days and the weeks and the years will roll by, but nothing will change the love inside you and I.
Maybe I'll never find any words that could explain just how much my heart, my life, my soul, you've changed. When no one else understands, without God in the whole world, DJ S. Low.
No touch has ever felt so wonderful.
Israel, we love you. We love all those that came on the show. Bye-bye.